Hello, welcome to episode 13 of Be Super Podcast, and being that it's a 13th episode and this month is Halloween, it's going to be a horror-filled podcast. Okay, so I'm here with a special guest today for me, early morning for my guest. I don't know what time it is, past midnight, so if my guest falls asleep, that would be why. Yes, I'm joined with one of the coolest people, I would say, on the Arrow in the Head website, if that's fair to say.
You're making me blush, Marcy, I'm sorry.
Let's see, DVD pub critic Pat Torfey?
Yes, it is.
Yes, I didn't butcher it again. Yay! So paranoid I was going to say that wrong the second time. So how you doing, even though it's like past midnight and everything?
Well, all things considered, I'm doing pretty well. It's windy and cold outside, but I'm relatively warm inside, so I can't complain.
Oh, that's good. As long as it's warm inside, you've got everything all nice and cozy. For the cold night. Sounds good. Now, being that it's October and everything, and Halloween is, a few weeks away?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so have you been watching any Halloween-related horror movies or just horror movies in general?
Well, I'm trying to think now. I think it's just mostly been horror movies in general. I mean, I guess you could apply some of the films that I've been watching to Halloween, but for the most part, it's just been just horror movie related.
Oh, well, I guess horror movie, you could just say in general, Halloween related, because it's scary.
Well, yeah.
Not necessarily but scary, but goes mm-hmm. in with the kind of theme, I guess.
Yeah.
So, what did you watch? Like, what was the last movie that you watched that was horror-related, anyway? We'll stick to horror today.
As we were discussing just before we started, I just finished watching Tom Shanklin's The Children, which has just been put out on Sam Raimi's new, I guess, release company, Ghost House Underground.
Yep.
And, that was probably one of the best movies I've seen this year. And I had seen a lot, unfortunately, so you can't really stick me as a, can't really quote me on that, but, yeah, it's probably, without a doubt, one of the best films I've seen all year.
So would that be like just movies in general or genre related?
Genre related, I would say.
Cool.
The film itself is it starts out slow, but it's a necessary thing, especially to get the character development aspect out of the way. Which is really necessary in this case because the movie thrives on the idea of, how can you kill your own child when they're trying to kill you, that sort of thing. It's really interesting to...
That sounds interesting already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we'll have a review. You'll have a review up soon, or maybe when this is out, it'll be out, but I'll look forward to reading it. You've got some pretty cool reviews on the website.
Well, thanks.
I've read many of them. Like if I'm like looking for a DVD to watch or some like obscure horror movie, I'll always jump on the DVD pub and have a look. Hasn't really steered me wrong yet, so give lots of love to the DVD pub.
Yeah, well, we do what we can.
Yeah, well, it's probably one of the best DVD, like horror related DVD review places on the web, so I would say you can't go wrong at all. That's
yeah, well, the The Arrow gives us pretty much almost free reign when it comes to the DVDs that we get. So for the most part, we're pretty honest with our reviews.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that I like is that it's kind of no holds barred. There's no sugarcoating it. If it's shit, you're gonna say it's shit. So yeah, that's a positive thing. I don't like sugarcoated reviews.
Yeah, well, even with some of my reviews, I've had to say, you know, I really can't see, I shouldn't bash some of these films too bad because they are independent films and they're student films or something like that. But,
sort of thing, but
you know,
but I mean, like when a movie really deserves to be shit on,
yeah.
But you know, if you can see that like someone's actually really tried, well, it might not be the best movie. At least there's still something there. That's important, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've seen a lot of really shit movies and they deserve everything that they've gotten for being shit.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you've like watched recently, like stuff you've seen before?
As I kind of explained before we went on the air, so to speak, I'm currently juggling between school or college, I should say, work and this. But that's not to say that I can squeeze in a couple of movies once in a while and. I think some of the more recent ones that I've seen Blade with Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, I haven't seen that for a long time.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite vampire movies. Even though Ammon says like, but the blood's so cheesy and it's like the CGI is so crappy, and I'm like. Yeah, it is, but you know, I mean, it's 1999. It's not, it's not exactly, you know, perfect. But I mean, it's, you know, it's fun.
It's a fun movie. And it's got like one of the best opening sequences, in my opinion, for like a movie like that. And it's got a really cool soundtrack, which is that's important for me in a movie. It needs to have a good soundtrack, and that one's got a pretty kick-ass soundtrack.
Oh yeah, and plus you have Stephen Dorff, who I think is probably one of the best villains I've seen in a horror movie. I mean,
well, I liked him in it.
He's a guy that you like, and you know, he's he's certainly in your face.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But, yeah,
and.
I guess
another film that I saw was Predator 2.
I think I like Predator 2 for what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not... I liked it for... I know it's not exactly the most typical action movie. Action/horror movie.
Yeah.
Because you have Danny Glover as the main protagonist, and it's like, you know, going from Arnold... to Danny Glover or something.
It's a big change.
Yeah.
And then it's in a city as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because it takes place in a... Well, it's supposed to take place in the future, which was 1997 Los Angeles, which is pretty accurate, actually, except for the gang warfare. But anyways...
Yeah.
I liked it for what it was. I mean, it's
a
not
a guilty pleasure type of movie.
Well, yeah, and
it's
plus you get
Bill Paxton. I love Bill Paxton.
Yes, Bill Paxton is just the king of one-liners next to Bruce Campbell.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people hate Predator 2, but I just look at it as big, fun, silly. Over the top sort of movie.
Yeah, exactly. And what the thing is that people seem to forget the fact that Predator 2 kind of perpetuated the idea of having the Predator in the same universe as the aliens.
Yeah.
And
the 2-second or 5-second shot of the alien skull. gave us AVP. Well, no, at least the games were fun.
Well, yeah, and the Dark Horse comic books were entertaining, more so than the movies, actually.
Well, I only saw the first movie, and I thought it was okay. I wasn't a big fan. I didn't see the second one, but I'm actually interested in seeing this new Predators that has been talked about a lot recently.
Oh, I'm really excited for that one.
Well, I saw the review of the script, and it sounded really cool. And I'm not sold on the casting so far, but I mean, you can't really judge it until I guess you see it.
Well, exactly.
Well, there's a lot of movies I was like, oh, why are they casting that guy or that person in it? And then once I saw the movie, I was like, oh, okay, that's why. Because they kick ass. So I'll just, wait and see what happens. But it sounds pretty, exciting. It sounds really good. Hopefully it'll be nice and bloody and gory.
Well, yeah, and even if it does have Adrian Brody in it, and...
He might turn around and be really badass, I don't know.
Well, I mean, having Danny Trejo, which I would love to meet Danny Trejo, because he seems like such a nice guy.
Yeah.
But then he plays these really tough guys that are just, you know.
He's king of the badasses.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with the Canadian actor Michael Ironside.
Oh, Michael Ironside. He's always a badass.
I know. I mean, I would just love to interview him and say, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but you are such an asshole in your movies.
I want to punch you in the face every single movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he was even the bad guy in the next Karate Kid. Like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the movies, you could be a bad guy, and he's a bad guy in that. That's just insane. I find that hilarious. He's a great dude, though.
Oh, yeah, he's a nice guy.
He never fails to entertain.
Oh, yeah.
I've just embarrassed myself with my movie knowledge that I know that he's in that movie because I've seen it. But, yeah, is there anything else, or are you sort of just taking your time with your movies that you've seen?
I'm pretty much taking my time, although I did see The Antichrist, and you saw The Antichrist as well.
I saw some of it, and I can't watch the rest of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
it stems more from the fact that I was just sitting there going, huh? What is this movie trying to say? I just wasn't feeling it all that much.
Yeah. Well, I did see the movie all the way through, and I sort of saw what the director's vision. Well, I guess what Von Trier was trying to do, but I think that it was a case of the hype selling it for the most part. I mean, it's like, you know, graphic sexual violence and everything like that. I'm like,
yeah, just a
bit. Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's not
particularly
much...
certain things with that are a bit weird. But I was just thinking, like, is he trying to say women are the Antichrist, or is there something else, or what the hell? And I was just like, yeah, I'm not in the mood for this. I don't know if I want to watch it all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to, I think you'd have to take a, and I know there was criticism, towards the film, and that this film's misogynist and everything like that, and you could look at it like that, but also you'd have to look at it from the fact that she's the one who smashes Willem Dafoe's nuts with a and then drives a bolt through his shin and tries to kill him all those times. You can see it's, I think
there's like weird sort of things with the like, the kid and everything. Like, maybe she didn't like her kid, or she wasn't feeling much for the kid, and even though, like, the whole thing, it starts off with the death of the kid, I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like that was...
She wasn't, it's hard to say, like, she wasn't really feeling much with her kid. Like, it's hard to explain, but, yeah. it's hard to explain. It's not an easy movie to talk about or go into.
Yeah, I would say that it's, it's beautifully shot. If you can get past the obvious scenes that we talked about and the scenes that we allude to. There's no getting around the fact that it's like you see people having sex in graphic detail.
Yeah.
And of course it's all, it's shot at high speed.
Yeah.
Right at the start, and it's just mixed in with some classical aria music.
Yeah.
And juxtaposing that with the fact that the couple's son, gets out and basically falls out of the window.
Yeah, he sees them doing the nasty and see you later, kid, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you get with Von Trier, is he's always, his style, like, it changes with every movie, but it's still, it's something different, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he changes his style with every movie, but it's still, like, really well shot, and, like, the way they're edited actually really works as well, even if you don't like the movie. You know, everything's there, it's made really well.
Yeah, exactly, that's what thinking.
If you're watching a film of his, it's not a good time, so...
Yeah.
A few of his movies have pretty much killed me. They're very draining.
Well, I'm trying to think now. There was... what was it?
Which one?
it was Irreversible. That was with...
Oh, okay.
With Gaspar Noé.
Yeah.
I don't know if I pronounce his name right.
I'm not even going to try. That's not really a happy movie either.
No, it's just... And, his other work is just, there's... And of course, you get into the whole, what's considered art and what's not.
What's too much.
What's considered horror and what's considered gratuitous.
But if you look at Irreversible, like, the way it's shot, it's trying to be, trying to be more artistic rather than just show the violence and everything, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were trying for something different, but that movie's kind of hit and miss for me. It always comes up in conversations as well, for some reason. But yeah, I know what you mean, and I think you know what I mean. And yeah, I would say Irreversible is not a movie that I'm going to go back and watch again anytime soon.
No, but I could say the same thing with Inside. Inside was a hard movie to see for me.
Now that I've seen Inside, it always comes up, and it was probably like one of the most it's one of the most unique experiences in watching a movie for me, mainly because of everything I'd been told about it, all the stuff I'd heard, and then when I actually went to sit down and watch it, it was completely different, and the violence was so over the top and so full on that I had to laugh in some bits.
Yeah, well, I couldn't laugh at the some of them, but
I wasn't laughing like at the end. I was laughing more towards like the start where there's like scissors in the knee.
Yeah. And then, of course, you get the music, the stingers of music in there, and that just makes things just, you know, that much more upsetting.
Yeah, it gets more brutal as it goes on, but the part I was laughing at was mainly when the violence really started, and there was, like, scissors in the knee. And... But then, yeah, the main, like, baddie, the lady... She could just kick anyone's ass, and that was just a bit much as well.
Yeah.
Sort of really dumbass cops in this movie.
Yeah, I'm not to... And I mean, the thing is that it, on the other hand, it's these... well, foreign for me, foreign for you, but,
yeah.
I mean, foreign directors, these European directors are always, it seems, pushing the envelope that much more than what North American directors are doing. Because, I mean, we're just... Right now, we're in the midst of... Well, besides the recession, obviously, but it's like remake after remake and watering it down and, you know...
It's nice to see something original that's not afraid to, you know, go the extra mile, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, actually have a drop of blood in the movie. Because everything's, you know, like you said, it's watered down. And it's a remake of something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you actually get something different and it's, you know, it's actually a little bit brutal than something else, you know, it's worth giving a shot, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also depends on the context as well, because... if you look at Pan's Labyrinth, which is another film that you know, I absolutely loved, and I'm not afraid to say it, I cried at the end. There we go, guys. I'm not afraid to say that I cried at the end of Pan's Labyrinth. But that in itself, I mean, it's not, that film is not gory in in the slightest, but the violence is brutal in that it's just, you don't expect it on one hand, but on the other, it's like, you know, oh. I mean, when you, like, the one guy who gets his face bashed in with that wine bottle, you know, it's just that viscer, the sound, the image, it's just, ugh.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But, now, I can't say that my viewing's been all that interesting for the last week. What have I watched? I mean, I've watched... well, I mentioned before we started recording, I watched Baba Hotep again. Which is a fun... Well, yeah, it's a fun sort of silly-esque horror movie. I mean, that's always good for a night in my opinion, because it's so entertaining. It's so different, and it's a really good, like, independent film.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then, of course, you get Bruce Campbell, so...
Yeah, Bruce Campbell playing Elvis, so... you can't go wrong with that. So that's one I've watched. I watched The Lost Boys again. I hadn't seen it for a little while. That's always a good, fun vampire movie.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those typical 80s movies.
Yeah. It's a good 80s movie just on its own, but it's also a good horror comedy, and it's got a really good soundtrack as well. And, I mean, like, the state of vampire movies now with Twilight, which I hate...
Well, yeah.
I mean, you look back at The Lost Boys and it's like, yeah, they're real sort of, you know, proper teenage vampire types, not lovey-dovey, glittery, pussy emus.
Exactly.
Like,
but you know. On the other hand, you know, it's directed by Joel Schumacher, as any movie fan knows, Joel Schumacher, well, it... You don't have to say anything else.
Well, I like him except for a certain Batman movie. But, you know, I don't mind his movies. And I think that's like one of his best movies is The Lost Boys. In my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you know, you look at something back then, mid-80s type, and, you know, it's a really, like, you know, the vampires in it are kind of badass. But then today's vampires in, like, Twilight are pussy losers.
Exactly.
It's so annoying. Like, it's a reminder of the good old days of vampires.
Well, yeah, and you know, like, Fright Night was in there as well. Salem's Lot. All the Hammer films, well, although that's getting into the 70s, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, my all-time favorite vampire movie, which is one of my all-time favorite horror movies, is Near Dark.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And, like, for me, I think, like, my favorite vampires would probably be Bill Paxton in Near Dark as Severin. And I really liked Kiefer Sutherland as, what's the vampire's name? I can't remember now. Shit. What's this vampire called? David.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they're, like, really badass, cool vampire guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe when I was younger, I thought they were quite, you know, nice to look at as well. But at least they didn't glitter in the sun.
Exactly.
They would burn in the sun.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Bram Stoker would be spinning in his grave.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And I mean, not only for the fact that, it, you know, vampire, spawned these incredibly crappy movies, but also these incredibly crappily written
books.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, I haven't read the books because I've been so put off just by how shit everyone says they are, how badly written they are. And, like, I just look at, like, you know, the TV show True Blood. At least it's not afraid to be bloody and gory and have lots of raw sex in it. Like, you know, at least it's got balls, whereas Twilight just doesn't have any. And, like, the romance is so silly, and it's, I mean, I don't mind a romance put in there, but it's just so pathetic.
Exactly.
It's lame.
Well, and I think that the part of the thing with Twilight is that there's just a legion of anti-fans that hate it so much, and they just love to bash it.
I love to bash it, but I feel I'm justified in what I have to say about it. And I really don't think it's something that, you know, young girls and whatever should be reading. And the fact that, like, girls' mums are obsessed with it, and it's out of hand.
Well, exactly. I mean,
it really is.
You know you're a crappy writer when Stephen King says you're a crappy writer?
Oh, I love you, Stephen King.
that was probably, when I heard that, I thought that was the greatest thing that I had heard in a long time from Stephen King, just, you know, bashing Stephanie Meyer that way.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to insult, like, I'm not going to insult, I'm going to lose brain cells if I try to read that book. It just seems so badly written. So, yeah, Twilight I'll stay away from, and I'll stick to my cool vampire movies. Ones with actual, like, badass vampires in them. Even Tom Cruise as Lestat was more badass than that what's-his-face from Twilight.
Oh, yes. I actually haven't seen Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it,
but... haven't seen the whole thing all the way through.
Yeah.
Oh, well, one day when you got time, why not?
Yeah, why not?
It's a good one. I liked it. I like Neil Jordan movies as well. So, yeah. Well, I haven't really watched anything else, actually. I wanted to watch the Trick or Treat, but I'll get around to that eventually.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's the big movie of the month, I think.
I know, it's kind of ironic that well, I shouldn't say it's ironic, but I mean, I wanted to see that for the longest time as well, and and now once I have the opportunity,
you haven't watched it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's like me. I'll sit there and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I have to see this movie like right now. I'll get it. And then 2 years later, I still haven't seen it.
Exactly.
I've got DVDs on my shelf that I was so excited to buy. And it's been 3 years and I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Yet I'll pick up a DVD I've seen 1,000 times and still watch that.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Really slack. Really, really bad. We can move swiftly along because it's tradition now on the Super Podcast to do top fives, and we could get right into our top five subject for the show, which I thought we could sing, you know, keeping with like a Halloweenish type theme with horror movies, is to have like our top five like deaths and kills from some well-known franchises. So,
okay.
I decided to go with A Nightmare on Elm Street because it's my favorite horror movie franchise. And what have you picked for yours?
Well, I said I didn't want to sound cliche, but I'm going to have to go with it anyways. I'll go with Friday the 13th because I've always been a fan of the series. And
oh, me too.
Yeah. Honestly, I did like Jason Goes to Hell, even though I know some fans, you know, some people were like, that's not a Friday the 13th film, it's like Jason's not in it, it's a ripoff of The Hidden, or Night of the Creeps, or what have you, but I mean, yeah, but it's, I mean, it has one of the best deaths I've seen in a Friday the 13th film, and I'm pretty sure that anyone who's seen the film knows what I'm talking about.
Would this be like your number five to start the list off?
Well, it's one of my it's one of mine. I didn't have these in any particular order.
Yeah. Well, you could segue to say this could be your number five.
Well, yeah, that would be the camper. I believe her name was Debbie, in Final Friday. This was actually one of the scenes that they had to basically shoot after the test audience kind of said, "Well, there's not enough sex and death in this film," and it's like, not enough breaths or what have you, and so they went back and they shot this scene. And you know, I love the K&B guys to death because they make such awesome, you know, special effects stuff. And this, the effect of having someone be impaled and then having the, I think it was a, I'm not sure if it was a spike or whatever it was, having it ripped out and then having the body, you know, it was just... Bottom line, you have to see the uncut version of the film in order to see the entire thing, because that's just... Wow.
I'd have to watch that again. I wanted to, like, buy slowly all the movies, but, yeah, whether or not this country has uncut for them, I don't even know.
Well, you can always import them.
Yeah,
but
that's the way to go, unfortunately, in this country. Yeah. Well, so that's your, you will say that's your number five is the kill from Jason. What's it called? Jason Goes to Hell. The final.
Yes.
The final Friday. Is that right? Or, yeah. Okay. I thought I was getting my titles wrong. No. Yay! I got it right. There's so many of them I, you know, struggle to remember which is which. Well, for my five, I decided to have, like, two for A Nightmare on Elm Street series, mainly because they're probably, like, the most hilarious ones. And okay. The silliest ones. I'll go first with the one from part six. I think the guy was called Spencer, and he gets sucked into the TV, into this video game.
Oh, yes.
Where Freddy plays with the glove thing in the video
game.
Power
glove.
Yeah, the power glove, that's it. Yeah. Because it's the most over-the-top, stupid piece of crap. It's like the funniest thing ever.
Well, you know, I mean, looking back on it now, you can see it's kind of funny. You can see what they were going for. It's like, the whole Nintendo Power Glove.
Yeah, and, yeah.
But you know, being a fan of video games way back when,
yeah.
You know, the Power Glove, while it looked good, it was a hunk of crap.
It was.
Because you couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah, but Freddy can do anything with it.
Well, exactly.
That's what's so funny as well, is like he can just do all this shit with it and, you know, the whole sequence, it's absolutely hilarious. Like, you cannot top, like, a death like that. It's just, you know, the whole, just the silliness of it, the uniqueness of it, you know, everything about it, it's unreal. That's why I've, you know, given it a special mention in my number five spot, which goes along with my second number five, which is from one of my guiltiest pleasure movies, number two, Freddy's Revenge. I had to go with the death of the coach in the shower.
Oh, yes.
Because it's like the gayest death ever.
That's not being discriminative.
No.
It really is pretty. It's pretty gay.
Like, really gay. Basically, Freddy takes over Jesse's body, kind of thing, and he strips the coach and whips him with a towel, and yeah, it's very homoerotic. And then he gets the glove and does his thing. But everything leading up to it, like being at the S&M bar and just the whole thing, just makes it like the most fantastic death sequence. You know,
yeah.
The most homoerotic death sequence in a movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could see. I didn't mind part two, Freddy's Revenge. I mean, you know, for what it was, I could see. You know, there was a lot of homoerotic in that, and incidentally, the guy who plays Jesse is gay in real life.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just it's just
gay.
I know it, during that time, it's just. It's uncomfortable.
It's the movie, in my opinion, it's a classic. I love it. It's like, you know, on an earlier show on my guilty pleasures, I've named it as one of my guilty pleasure movies because I love it so much because, you know, everything about it just comes together and it's just, it's something special, put it that way.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you did. That was the movie that, you know, you had Freddy uttering, you know, "You are all my children now." And
yeah.
I mean, and
yeah,
it's
you
just
got the body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, yeah, even the lines were really gay. It's a very special movie. The easiest way to put it.
Well, yeah.
So, for you know. The entertainment value, they're my two for number five from the Elm Street series.
Okay, I guess the next one I would say would be, for me, would be from Friday the 13th, part three.
I love part three.
Yes, part three. Yes, Andy, you know, the Arrow put it the best way, you know, I mean, you'll never do handstands again after watching that shot. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, that's a good way to put
it. I mean, you don't actually. It's kind of hard to see what actually went on the way it was shot, but you actually read it. It's like Andy's busy, you know, doing his handstand thing, and then Jason comes up and, you know, whacks him, you know, in half, groin first, and I'm like. You don't actually get that until you see the after result when Jason somehow gets him up into the the rafters, and you see he's like, "Oh, that's what happened."
Oh man, that's like It's just, what do you say? It's inventive, I guess.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's always...
He's freaking doing handstands.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole idea with these Friday the 13th films, you know? It's like, how can we kill someone?
Yeah. No, that is a good one, yeah. It's funny because it's inventive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice pick. Now I'm going to have to, like, go on YouTube and look up all these deaths again. The brilliance of YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah, I decided to go for my next one. From part five, what's her name? I can't remember the girl's name. The one that gets, like, she has to eat, and she dies by eating.
Oh, yes,
Greta. She, like, force-fed, and she chokes, and, like, on her guts and stuff. That really gross one. That's, like, you know, that's another example of something being inventive, and it's really gross, but it's also kind of funny in a weird way.
Yeah, and I mean, that was actually one of the cut scenes from the Dream Child. That was the other one was being the Freddy cycle. But I mean, you look back on it now, and I mean, it is still pretty, you know,
it's
horrendous, even with the. Even with Freddy, you know, doing his, you are what you eat.
Yeah. You gotta love those one-liners that come with a lot of the deaths in Elm Street. Well, in the later. But that's definitely, like, it's an inventive, different death, and it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I quickly went and watched it again, and I was like, yeah, that's gotta be on the list for sure. That's a good one. Very cool.
Yeah. Mm. I guess it's back to me.
Back to you. We're on number three now.
Yeah, I guess that my third pick would be from probably one of my favorite Friday the 13th films, Part 6. You know, that was the one you were introduced to Zombie Jason, and I mean, the film poked fun at itself as well as the genre. And it was just, it was something new, and something that I really liked to see. Anyways, Sheriff Garris, his death of getting extreme chiropractic, you know, he was snapped in half. Basically, he was on top of Jason at some point, smashing his face with a rock, which doesn't make any sense because he's wearing a hockey mask, but whatever.
Whatever.
Jason,
it's not important.
Yeah, basically Jason decides to grab him and bend him all the way back, and you hear all the lovely cracking and screaming sounds, and that, like so many other Friday deaths, everyone knows that was cut because you actually saw, if you actually bought Friday the 13th box set or one of the special edition DVDs for part 6, you would see the overhead shot and you actually see him being bent over, and you know, I mean, I can see where they were going with it, and it was just so silly, but it's but on the other hand, it's just like the sound effects just make it that much more.
Yeah, well, that's the power of DVD.
Oh yes,
you get to see all the uncut goodness.
Well, yes, that's provided that the company kept it, but that's another story.
That's another thing altogether. But, yeah, that's an interesting one, too. I have to watch that movie again, too. I'm going to have to go back and just have a freaking Friday the 13th fest, I reckon. I have to have, like, a franchise marathon with all of them, I reckon. Sounds like a good idea. My next one I chose was from part 4. Which was the death with the bugs, where the girl's she's dreaming that she's working out in her home gym, I think, and she slowly starts turning into a bug, and it's totally gross. It's actually like a really cool sequence. It's like a really cool. It's another one that's, you know, it's inventive. It's original. Like, you wouldn't really expect someone's going to turn into a bug. and then exactly. gets squished and everything. But yeah, that's one of my favorite parts in part four, is that death scene.
Oh yeah, the fact that you know, when Freddy actually, you know, squeezes the Roach Motel, yeah. all this like bug juice comes out in copious amounts, and it's like, it's so over the top, but yeah. you know,
it's so cool though. Like it's just like one of the really fun parts of that movie, because it's a really fun movie. That's like, yeah, that's one of the crowning jewel deaths, I think, for the whole series. Very, very cool.
Okay. And I think that's on to number two. Yes, I'm going to have to go with the Ben from Part 7. And this is Part 7, The New Blood, is another one of my favorite movies. If only because it's Kane Hodder, yeah. and the fact that the makeup job that was done with him was just so, you know, it was so gross, and it was just, it's made the movie that much more fun. But anyways, it's one of the deaths that was cut, another unfortunately. Cut. But then again, so are all the deaths all the in good part
ones.
Seven.
Well, not all the good ones, but all the good bits are always cut.
Well, exactly. But I mean, again, you know, if you have the box set, you know, you've probably seen it. It's Ben getting his head crushed down into a walnut by Jason.
I have to look that up.
Basically, Ben is outside.
That sounds pretty freaking cool, though.
And Jason comes up from behind him, grabs him, and starts squeezing his head. And, I mean, you only see, you know, the first part about it for the blood starting to run down his face, and then it cuts back to it cuts back to another scene. But, I mean, if you see the uncut footage, you know, I mean, it's just, it's so over the top. I mean, blood is just spurting out everywhere, and, you know, the director, Beekler, and Kane Hodder are just killing themselves watching this, because it's just so over the top. And that's part of the charm of it. I mean, it's sure is disgusting, but on the other hand, it's like, there's no way that this could happen.
I'm just watching it now on YouTube. I just found it. That is fucking awesome. It is so over the top. He squashes his head with his bare hands.
Well, yeah.
That's,
and I mean,
fucking cool, man.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've never met Kane Hodder, actually, but from what I've heard from numerous people, he's like the sweetest guy ever. And,
he wouldn't do that.
You know, and well, once he gets into the mode, you know, it's just, it's something else. And I mean, it's, and that's the whole, part of the reason Part 7 is just, you know, just to see all the over the top deaths that you can see.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's the coochie face, I can't remember what's his face. But he gets the axe in the face, and there's this geyser of blood that comes out, and his face is split. You know, it's just stuff like that.
Yeah, there's just something rewarding about seeing Jason just pretty much just do all that kind of weird shit to people.
Oh, yeah.
That's the appeal of a Friday the 13th movie. Well, I picked for my number two, not second. A scene in part three, which is probably, I think, it's one of the more well-known scenes in a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, which would be the death by the Freddy the Puppeteer.
Oh, yes.
That's, I'm pretty sure that's the guy when he's having a dream about the naked nurse, and she lures him out, and he becomes a puppet, and Freddy, I don't know if I'm getting these mixed up, but I remember a nurse with big boobs in that movie.
Yeah, I think that's another death
that
in
might have
unto
been someone
itself.
Else, actually, yeah. Maybe that was another guy. But yeah, there was a nurse with big boobs, and
yes,
there's that, and that's a great scene.
Oh yes.
But I don't know if I'm thinking of the wrong character, but yeah, one of the guys gets turned into a puppet by Freddy, and he puppets him out the window. But it's actually, like, the actual effects in the scene are really good. They still, like, hold up pretty well.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with tendons that act as puppeteer strings, and of course,
that's
claymation, like, Freddy.
Yeah, it's all done, like, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just all comes together really well as this, you know, as that scene. But yeah, it's like he's like, you know, with his like you said, his tendons and stuff are being used to puppet him along. But it's definitely like the top death in that whole movie, easily. I mean, that movie's got a lot of cool deaths, but that one's the best one, in my opinion, because it is my, you know, it's my list. It's what I like.
It's better than the Welcome to Prime Time, bitch. The television.
Yeah, while that death is cool, this one's, like, way better. This one, like, kicks all sorts of ass, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember. The guy was called Philip. Yeah, who was the other guy that had the big boob nurse? I don't remember.
It was the mute guy,
yeah. He didn't die because he was in the fourth one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm getting confused. I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm just thinking of boobs. But, that scene gets my vote as one of the best scenes with boobs in a horror movie. It's so good that it completely distracts me from what I was talking about. So, what's your pick for the best death in a Friday movie?
Well, I guess they would have to go back to the very first one, the one that started it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Betsy Palmer getting her head lopped off. And I know it seems sort of anticlimactic that I would end with, you know, but that was just... The fact that, you know, I saw that when I was a kid, and I was like, oh, shit. And, of course, you know, you get the effect, you know, Betsy Palmer gets her head lopped off, and you see her hands, which incidentally aren't her hands. They're the, I can't remember what his name is. I don't know if it's Tom Savini or not, but it's basically one of the effects guy's hands doing the clawing for the head, which isn't there. But that one in itself, because it was just something that I as a kid, that was the very first thing that I saw as a Friday the 13th film was Betsy Palmer's head flying off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good scene, though. It's, you know, it's from the original.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my pick is from the first Nightmare. I was going to say, you could have had Kevin Bacon as an honorable mention just because it's Kevin Bacon and Friday the 13th.
And also, that was the fact that that scene, they kind of screwed up the effect, and to save it, basically, one of the effects guys blew into the tube, so just made the effect that much more disgusting, because you see, instead of blood dribbling out, you see it, like, spurting out everywhere.
Yeah.
And so, that one was another good one.
Mm. I just remember it because it was Kevin Bacon.
Well, yeah.
I do remember some other things with Kevin Bacon in that movie, too, that I'd rather forget. But, I think predictably my pick for the number one Nightmare on Elm Street death is Glenn, played by Johnny Depp.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's like, I mean, hands down, that's the best death in a Friday, you're going to go on Friday 13th, with the Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Just that it's so over the top, and there's so much blood, and it's so fucking cool. And the fact that Nancy has to watch everything happen, and she can't stop it.
Exactly.
I mean, the whole, you know, the atmosphere and everything leading up to the scene, and the scene itself, everything just, like, comes together. It works so well. It's really cool.
It's better than Tina getting, you know, dragged up the wall.
I love that scene, but this one, just for me, this one owns more.
Mm.
And, you know, while I think that first death scene with Tina is really cool, like, my other picks, they're a little bit different. There's something, you know, special about each one of them, being, you know, that I like them for this reason or that reason, but I would say, like, hands down, this is, like, one of the best deaths, like, in a movie. Not just, like, a nightmare movie, but just, like, a horror movie in general. It's very cool, and I can't remember how much fake blood they used, but there was a fucking heaps.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember the facts exactly, but there was a lot of fake blood used.
Yeah, and you can tell we're really nerds, folks, that we're remembering all this trivia and trying to enhance it, but, you know, we have no life.
Yeah, I'm a movie nerd, so I need to know all the useless facts. But no, for me, that's like just one of the best deaths, like, in a movie. And Johnny Depp, I'm sure, will never forget his first role in a movie.
Oh, yes.
But no, very, very cool. So, yeah, that's our top five. So I would just say hop on YouTube and check them out, because I'm sure they're all there.
Oh, yes.
There is, I think, an actual user on YouTube that has, like, deleted scenes and deaths and stuff from Friday the 13th. I can't remember what the user's called. I might just have to look them up and see what they were. Because I found it before, and I was like, oh, they got all the cool deaths and stuff. I can't find the user. Oh, yeah, here it is. Camp Bloodnet. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the one. So you go on there and you look them up on YouTube, and they've got all the Friday the 13th deaths you could possibly want. So if you don't agree with the picks, whoever's listening can throw in their own. Or if mine suck ass, well, bad luck. Because they really don't. But I think in the next few months I'm definitely going to have to, like, have a Nightmare on Elm Street marathon and a Friday the 13th marathon.
Well, you know, I mean, what's stopping you from having them this month? I mean, it's Halloween.
I need to get them all first, because I've only got, like, bits and pieces of the movie, and I was going to actually buy the new Nightmare box set that they're bringing out in Australia, but I don't think that comes out till next month.
Ah.
Yeah. Because every time I go to buy it, it's either, like, really expensive or they're sold out. Like, it'll go cheap and then it'll sell out. And I'm slowly getting all the Friday the 13th movies. Like, I even bought the remake because it was really cheap on DVD.
Yeah, I actually saw that in theaters. I don't have it on DVD yet, because I'm still hoping, in the back of my head, I'm hoping that Paramount will finally come to their senses. Probably not, but you never know. And release, you know, a better version on DVD than the one that we got. I mean, it's the film broke records, and they give us this two disc. Well, for North American Region 1 fans, they give us this.
Mind the one disc.
Yeah. Well, don't feel too bad, because I mean, they gave us this two disc edition, which, you know, at first glance it seems okay, but when you look into it, I mean, there's, especially with
I've gone blank on his name as well.
Yes, exactly.
The director of the other movie.
Yeah.
Marcus Nispel.
Yes, Marcus Nispel. Yeah, his, you know, I mean, after seeing, because I liked the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
I
liked it. It was a fresh take on Leatherface, and it actually, you know, explored a bit more into his family.
Yeah.
But also the fact that New Line did, you know, a fantastic feature-length documentary.
Yeah.
That for the film that probably is one of the best I've seen in quite a while.
I bought the DVD specifically for the extra features that they had on there. Because we got the 2-disc edition of the Texas Chainsaw as well. I don't think it's out anymore. Well, maybe it is.
Well, I think it's being re-released on Blu-ray.
I don't think it's out anymore. Yeah, I've got like a limited edition copy. Yeah, they don't sell it anymore. But no, seriously, I bought the DVD just for the features.
Oh yeah, I mean that's probably one of the best parts of a movie that you enjoy, especially you know, when you want to be a completist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of all these DVD, the different editions that I've gotten. I mean, and then the films that you're holding out for, hoping that you know, a definitive edition will come along before you decide to buy it, and then of course you buy it, and then
2 weeks later the special one will come out.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That happened to me recently. I finally bought The Crow on DVD.
Oh yes.
2 months later, the 2-disc edition comes out. And I was just like,
oh, yes.
Fuck off. And it was only like $2 more expensive. And I'm like, fuck, why?
You know, the speaking of The Crow, you know, they've been planning to do a remake of that for quite some time, actually. Yeah. And I had written on, you know, if you go to the Arrow in the Head website, you can write comments on various news stories and some reviews. And I know you do. So does Ammon and Eric. Eric, they know you do. And they thank you for
pest.
It.
Yeah, well, I'm a pest on the website. I know.
Yes.
I know that I just like, one day if I'm bored, I'll just go on there and post about everything.
Oh yeah, but we love our fans. Don't worry, we love you.
As long as you've got lots of Marcy love, I'm happy.
Yes, but I had written, you know, instead of remaking The Crow, which doesn't make sense. Because if you look at the actual comic books, you know, there's different crows for different people who are the crows for every edition. And, you know, I said, why not release a better special edition of the original movie? I mean, because I don't know the edition that you've got in Australia, but the edition that we've had in North America for a number of years, it's ported, a lot of the extras were ported over from the Laserdisc.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't actually find like a listing of what the extras are, but there was a few on there because it's a 2-disc one. The one that I ended up buying is Bare Bones.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one's actually, it's been out for, it was out right when DVDs started to come out, actually.
That,
so it's,
that just shows you how behind with the times Australia is, that we've only just got The Crow with extra features now. And I was thinking about like getting it off Amazon one day, but I thought, no, they're gonna end up releasing it, and then they never did, and I just I want to watch it again. I'm just gonna buy the Bare Bones one. And then as soon as I buy, like 2 months later, one with extras comes out.
Well, put it this way, at least you guys get, well, all of Europe basically gets, you know, from Anchor Bay, you guys get a definitive Hellraiser box set and a definitive Phantasm box set. whereas everyone in Region 1 land, we get like bits and pieces of it, but we don't get the full thing. And it's partially due to rights, but yeah. And amongst other things, but really, you know, well, come on.
I don't even think Phantasm has been released on Region 1. Region 4, which is Australia.
Oh, okay,
DVD
I see.
At all. So if I wanted that edition, I'd have to order it in, or I'd have to go to a DVD store that I know of that does imports, because I found quite a few that do imports. Pretty much, like, with the price difference and shipping costs, you end up paying the same, so it's easier just to go to the import store and get it. Does that make sense? Because to get it off, like, Amazon, you've got to pay shipping as well, and these pretty much include the costs, so you don't have to worry about, like, ordering it in and stuff. But yeah, Phantasm's definitely not out on a Region 4.
Oh, okay,
I've
yeah,
got it's them all on
slipped
VHS.
My mind.
Yeah, but with that, I've got them on VHS, and they're really bad. I would love to have them on DVD.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, if you can, and you know, I'm not just saying that for you, but I'm saying it for everyone. If you're a fan of the Phantasm series, if you can, get the Region 2 box set.
Yeah, see, I've noticed which, that as well. Region 2 has some really fantastic releases.
Yeah. And then, of course, I mean, I remember when the Alien Quadrilogy came out.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone got basically the same, you know, it's a great box set. I have no doubt about that. But then you look at what Japan got. I mean, if you can remember, Japan got a limited edition. I don't think it was full scale representation, but it was pretty close to it. It was a xenomorph head, the original H.R. Giger design, and the transparent shell. You would open it up, and the discs would sit in little slots.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, it was. I wish I could find pictures of it, because it was so cool. And I was like, "Oh man."
Yeah.
And, but then again, Japan also gets the other cool stuff. I mean,
they got Grindhouse original presentation.
Mm-hmm.
They got Kill Bill as one movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah, everyone else just gets shafted. Like,
yeah, and then,
like, in the end, a lot of my DVDs that I had to specially buy are like Region 2, because mm-hmm. their editions were better, or they had better covers as well. Like, I got Near Dark, I think it's a Region 2. I don't know what the Region 1 was like, but the Region 2 cover is really cool. It doesn't look like that piece of shit new one that they brought out.
Oh, yes.
It's like it opens up and it's all like, let me say, it's like
Twilight.
No, it's like, it's a cool cover. It opens up, it's got a book in there. It's, I think, a 2-disc edition.
Oh, okay, you're talking about
the original release, but I think the one that I got was the same as Region 1, but I just got a Region 2.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, that one was cool. The new one, which I don't even think has any extras, and they're going for the whole Twilight look, is just bullshit.
Yeah, that's the one that I was referring to, and of course, person that I know who's actually was a former Arrow in the Head columnist. She works with on a couple of other movie websites.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Dude, you just realized that just now? We've been bitching about that for months."
And yeah.
I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it like way before like anyone else had seen it, and I was just like, oh my god, I think I just threw up. And then like a few weeks later, everyone started talking about it.
Yeah,
it's like the most horrible thing. Yeah, gotta stop with the Twilight crap. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, I would stick with,
yeah, but like, even as an example, Australia's Near Dark release, which was only like 2 years ago, And I've had the DVD for, I think I got it in 2004 or something. Like, the Australian release, I think, is Bare Bones. So we get shafted pretty badly. It's to the point,
that's
like,
too
you
bad.
Really, yeah, I mean, if you're like me and you like extras on your DVD, you have to get it from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an easy example of recent movie, Watchmen. Australia didn't get the director's cut. They just got the regular edition. So I wanted the director's cut, so I had to get it off Amazon. It's ridiculously insane.
I haven't seen Watchmen, though. This is getting a bit off. I mean, it's not necessarily horror.
No.
But
as an example of just the bullshit that they do in this country. I'm not happy, but I mean, for me, because I'm a big fan of the movie, I'm a big fan of the book, I wanted the whole uncut thing, and I had to order it, but at least, like, the price that I ended up getting it for would have been less than what I would have paid full price for the shitty edition I didn't want, so that was also a bonus. But, yeah, especially, like, horror movies especially, we don't get shit, and when we do get shit, it's, you know, it's nothing to write home about. You're better off just importing it. So, yeah, if you want, like, decent horror movies in Australia, get them somewhere else. That's just how shit it really is.
Well, I mean, you guys obviously must have gotten pretty good of Peterson's movies.
Of who?
Peter Jackson.
I think those editions are okay, but, you know, like, The Frighteners, I don't think that has any extras on there. Like, as an example, I don't think that movie has anything extra on there, and I think it's really actually hard to find, like, Heavenly Creatures as well. And I don't know if you can still find Brain Dead. Well, it's called Brain Dead here.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
sure.
It's
Dead Alive here.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that you can get Bad Taste. I'm not sure about Meet the Feebles, though. I've seen Bad Taste a lot for sale. But, like, I mean, if you're not looking at Lord of the Rings or King Kong, it's, I don't even think they sell Brain Dead, actually. So I can't find it.
Well, Brain Dead, Dead Alive here. I think we've just gotten, like, Bare Bones. Meet the Feebles, I don't think has been released, although I could be wrong.
I think Meet the Feebles was, but I think it's hard to get, and I'm pretty sure Brain Dead is not on DVD here, or it's gone. Yeah, Meet the Feebles, I think that's gone as well. Bad Taste, I'm not sure.
Bad Taste was released. No. It was actually, again, it's one of those.
I think it's ones that you've got to find, yeah.
It was one of the first DVDs released, and I actually have one of the two-disc limited edition ones from. It was one of the first DVDs that I bought. And it has the film, and then it has the documentary made by Peter Jackson.
Oh, okay.
On the other disc. It doesn't have the commentary, though, that I know exists for the film.
Yeah, see, I think they brought them out here, but now I don't think they're available any longer, so you'd probably have to, like, really search for them. Or go to eBay, I guess. But,
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's, I'm really, not a big fan of the Australian DVD situation. Because I like DVDs with extras, and I especially like DVDs that have, like, documentaries and really good commentary. And they're, like, really hard to find. Like, because you buy a DVD, you don't know if the commentary is going to be any good, or you don't know the extras are going to be any good. But at least, like, if you got the chance to get something with an extra, it's there. But it's just really hard to get decent extras on a DVD in general, so...
Well, yeah, and plus it also depends on, the companies that...
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, different companies are going to have different things, but for the most part, yeah, there's just so many movies that could be on DVD, but they're just not, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I found Bad Taste on DVD on eBay, just out of curiosity, and it's got, yeah, it's got special features on as well. So Region 4, so it would have been the old one that they brought out, because the rating thing that they've got on it is old. Because on Australian DVDs, they love to put the ratings really big and bright on the cover. Because, again, we've got a completely different rating system to the rest of the world. In our upside-down, backwards country.
Oh, yes, well, no.
That's another reason why people import DVDs, because the covers look nicer. There's no big ratings thing on the front. Well, we've had a really cool conversation.
Oh, yes.
It's gone really off topic, but it's really good. We actually were starting to talk about the Friday the 13th remake DVD. Anyway, the copy I got, I think it's only got like 3 features on there. I don't know if that's the same as the one that's come out over there. It just says it's an extended cut.
Yeah,
alternate scenes, I think. And
yeah, I think that's.
Yeah.
The way that Paramount has worked it, you had to buy both in order to get, because they didn't have seamless branching between the theatrical cut and the extended cut. But they're, same extras on both. Well, except for the fact that extended cut, it also had, other special features, but they were kind of, now I remember what we were getting back to. Given that Marcus Nispel, I loved his work on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. I loved the DVD that New Line put out, but it's Paramount that's handling this this one, and so that's why.
Yeah.
So I don't think Paramount's too big on horror.
Yeah.
Especially ones, that involve the words Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Because they just wanted, on the other one hand, it made them money, but on the other hand, it was like, this is crap compared to what they were putting out the rest of the time. Yeah. So they just,
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much picked up the movie because it was cheap, and I really didn't mind it. I had a good time with it.
Oh, yeah.
And
I didn't.
It's something that I'd probably, watch from time to time anyway, like a guilty pleasure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw it in theaters, and that was actually, it's kind of weird, because that was the only time that people actually cheered the opening credits. It was so weird, because after the opening sequence, and then the title appears on the screen, you just hear this, people are like, yeah! And then, of course, when Chase finally gets his mask, people cheer again. And it was just so weird being in the theater with that. And and this, as for the film itself, I mean, it wasn't the best Friday the 13th, but it wasn't the worst. I mean, it was I don't want to say phoned it in, because it certainly wasn't, but it didn't bring anything new.
It was still the same type of thing, but they tried to recap part 1 and 2 quickly, and then just get into proper territory while still adding Jason had tunnels and stuff, so it didn't seem so ridiculous that he could get from point A to B really quickly.
Exactly.
So that part there was good, and again, it had boobs in there that I'll never forget.
Well, yeah.
There's also it's that. Good. I mean, that alone is worse than the DVD.
Yeah, I mean, the kills, I thought, you know, I mean, they weren't, you know, over the top, but I mean, but they were, on the other hand, they were brutal. I mean, you know.
They were still, like, good, but they weren't, like, over the top stupid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They were still, like, decent enough.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's all you can ask for, really. Yeah. But, you know, they weren't, I could see where Nispel was trying to keep it, you know, from going into, you know, new blood territory, but that's not to say new blood wasn't entertaining.
But, no, I mean, like, you know, I just wanted to see Jason kill stupid people, and that's pretty much what I got.
Well, yeah, and so, I think that's really all that people wanted, and that's basically what they got.
Yeah, I was entertained enough, so it worked for me.
Oh, yeah.
That's the important thing. It worked for me, so that was all good. But, yeah, they're slowly, like, re-releasing the films on DVD here, and I got, like, the original in a two-disc edition, but I think the extras were pretty much just carried over from, I think, the region one or something. And then I picked up the second one, which has some extras on there, but I haven't really watched them yet. And I think the other ones, I don't know, I think they're probably bare bones. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the original Friday the 13th, that's Warner Brothers owns the rights to that.
That's correct. Yeah, that's probably why there's features on there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the part 3 that was released has a few, like, little bits and pieces, but I think the rest are just bare bones ones.
Huh.
But they sell them cheap enough that, you know, it's okay for a bare bones DVD. But I'm not sure, like, Jason X is out on DVD anymore. Like, here anyway, because I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, then I guess you'll have to... Well, I could send you the one that's on my shelf, sitting on my shelf right now, but I think that'd be a bit more expensive for me.
Probably. But,
yeah.
I'm sure, like, it'll get re-released anyway. But I wanted to watch it again because when I first watched it, I just thought it was so ridiculous. But now I'm like, well, I'm probably going to like it even more being that ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole, that was the whole thing about it. I mean, it was just Jason in space. And it's like, it was sort of like what part 6 did. And I mean, it poked fun at the series.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's like, well, you know, I'd still rather have him, you know, stomping around Crystal Lake.
Yeah, but it was still, like, something ridiculously silly, so, yeah, I mean, I'd like to check it out again and have a laugh anyway. But so, I guess I'll get there eventually. There's no rush. The movies aren't going anywhere. That's the one thing I have to always remind myself. The movies aren't going anywhere.
Well, yes.
When there's a will, there's a way. When you really want to see something, you'll make it happen. If you track it down on eBay or Amazon or something, it's, you know, chances are you'll be able to find it. So it's all good. Like, I should probably watch, like, all the stuff that I've already got before I keep going to get new stuff. But, yeah, well, we've actually, like, had a really cool, nice, lengthy show, so we'll probably wrap it up. A lot of interesting conversation.
Indeed.
It's been very cool, and you're welcome back anytime.
Well, thanks for having me, Marcy. It was kind of
coming on.
Spur of the moment almost, but you know, it was
that's always the best way to do it. Spur of the moment, no plan, just do it.
Well, yeah.
I'm just like a crazy fan.
Well, we're all a little crazy fans.
Yeah, I'm a professional, but no, it's, like, really been cool with my shows getting, like, more and more popular every single day, so I'm trying to get like different kinds of guests to come on, so hopefully in the next few weeks I'll have some really cool movie people coming on. So I won't say any more just in case it doesn't work out, but super podcast gonna get super interesting, I'm sure.
Oh, yep. Well, I look forward to seeing that. Or I shouldn't say seeing that, hearing that.
You can hear it. Yeah, well, if I could do a podcast video, I'd just sit there and look weird, but I don't think that would work too well. But, yeah, well, until next time, it's been fun. It's cool. It's good to talk about, like, a genre that I love, and I don't often get to talk about it too much. I'm, like, with a lot of people I know, I'm the only, like, really crazy horror fiend. Everyone else is just, like, mainstream or independent movies or something else. They're not really, like, horror like me. I'll mention a horror movie.
Oh, the wonders of the internet.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, have you seen this movie? No. Oh. You haven't seen this? No. That sounds stupid. Okay. Never mind then. But, yeah, no, it's good to talk to somebody who actually, like, has heard of a horror movie before.
Yeah, well, I know the feeling.
Yeah. Well, it's late for you, so you should get to sleep, and I'll have to, like, start working on dinner, because it's getting into the evening.
Like you said, and like I said, you know, I enjoyed my time here, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on, so... yeah, until next time, it's the super awesome podcast.